complete in Him, and I want to talk about the fruits of the Spirit. All right. We had a wonderful teaching by Aldo, and then by Rich, and now I want to share about the fruits of the Spirit. So, let's turn to Colossians chapter 2. And we're going to start reading here in verse 10. And you are complete in Him, which is the head of all principality and power, in whom also ye are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with Him in baptism, wherein also you are risen with Him through faith of the operation of God. It's faith in the operation of what God has accomplished through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who raised Him from the dead. I want to take a look at this in the Amplified Version. It says, and in Him you have been made complete, achieving spiritual stature through Christ. And we've heard that word complete a lot because that's the theme of what we're doing, that we're complete in Him. And we know that saying, I'm completely, completely complete in Him, right? I just want to look briefly at this word complete because it's really important for us to understand when we say complete, what we're talking about. So it says to fill to the top. So imagine you have a cup, right? And you fill it to the top. It says to fill to the top so that nothing shall be wanting to full measure. Fill to the brim. So we've poured, let's say water. We've poured water in this cup. It's right up to the brim. I mean, if you pour any more in, it starts to run over the side of the cup. You can't fit any more in. It's up to capacity, right? To carry through to the end, to accomplish, to carry out some undertaking. So in that aspect, it's like if you want to say, I've dotted every I, I've crossed every T. There's nothing left for me to do to complete what I'm trying to do. It says to bring to realization or to realize sayings, promises, prophecies, to bring to pass, to ratify, and to accomplish. So Jesus Christ has completely, there's nothing left to do. You can't fill it anymore. There's nothing more to complete about it. He has completed it. It is complete. And why is that word so important when we say complete? Because so often believers think that I have to do something more. There must be something I can do. Something? Just something? Actually, no, nothing. Because you are complete in Him. He has done everything that needs to be done for us to be complete. Okay? So, going back here in the Amplified Version, it says, and in Him you have been made complete, achieving spiritual stature through Christ. And He is the head over all rule and authority, of every angelic and earthly power. You know, when we talk about Jesus Christ being Lord of all, we often think about His return and that He is going to be Lord of lords, King of kings and Lord of lords, which He is going to be. But He's also over the angelic. In other words, He's over the spiritual also. Okay, the only one that's above him is God himself. He is the head of all rule and authority, whether it's spiritual or whether it's earthly. He is the head, and we are complete in him. It's very important for us to kind of come to that understanding, because really, everything that I'm going to share with you is about that understanding. And for many people, they really don't understand it that way. Okay? So, he is the head over all rule and authority of every angelical and earthly power. In him, you were also circumcised with a circumcision not made with hands, but by the spiritual circumcision of Christ, in the stripping off of the body of flesh, which is the sinful and carnal nature. Okay? And it was alluded to a little earlier today about this circumcision, that it's not us. Again, we've done nothing. We're complete in him. This circumcision is spiritual. It is something that God has done through Christ. We have nothing to do with it except for to receive what God has made available because of it. Okay? So it says that he has given us this circumcision, not made with hands, but by the spiritual circumcision of Christ in the stripping off of the body of flesh, which is sinful, carnal nature. Okay? It is a natural man. It is sinful nature. It is our lower nature. It is the flesh. It's spoken of in a lot of different terms in the scripture. But it all comes down to that we have this spiritual circumcision, right? Which has overcome that. It says, having been buried with him in baptism and raised with him to a new life through your faith in working of God as displayed when he raised Christ from the dead. You know, I just want to give you like an example. I want you to imagine, we all have heard of like Bill Gates, right? Jeff Bezos, right? We know that they're like billionaires times 20, 30, 40, whatever, right? Okay. So let's imagine that they're talking to one another and they say, you know, I really want to help people directly. I don't want to give my money to some organization and have to hope that they're doing the right thing, to funneling the funds the correct way to the people so that they can be helped. I want to directly put the money in their hands. So I'm going to stand on this street corner. I have $1 million checks. I have 100 of them. And I'm going to give them out to everybody that walks by. Shake their hand, introduce myself. I'm going to tell them who I am and why I'm there. And then I'm going to give him this check for $1 million, right? So you come by, he gives you the check for $1 million. Somebody else comes by, you give him the check for $1 million. Okay, so what's the point? One guy come tomorrow morning at 9 a.m., that'd be me, is going to be at the bank waiting for the doors to open. 9:01, I will be at the teller's window. Okay, with the check to deposit it. Why? Because I believe what the guy's telling me, and I want it. Okay, the next guy, a week goes by, he doesn't cash it. A couple of weeks go by, he doesn't cash it. A month goes by, he decides, you know what, I'm going to cash it, right? Why am I telling you this story? Because so many believers, we all have what God has made available spiritually from the day that you accepted God and what he has done for you, and that Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior. Every single one of us from that day has what God has made available spiritually. The question is, are we going to cash that check? Are we going to deposit it? Are we going to withdraw what God has made available to us? Or are we waiting around? Do we think we have to do something? Do we think there's something more? Because God's telling us there's nothing more. It's all available to you from the very moment that you have accepted God and Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And I think that that's a lot for people to absorb. Okay? It's a lot for people to absorb because in the world, who gives you anything from the first moment right off the bat? It's like, okay, now you got to work to it. You got to do a little something, right? No. With God, he's made it all available to us from the very moment that we have accepted him and what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for us. And that is really, that's really the crux of this whole thing. That we have to really get to understanding we are complete. And we are complete from the moment that we have that belief in God and what he has done for us. From the moment. Okay? So let's keep going. So a lot of people ask, okay, so how does this work then? Okay, how does it work? If I'm complete and I have all of this available to me, how does it work? All right, let's go to Colossians 3. And we're going to start in verse 1. If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For you are what? You're dead. And your life is hid with Christ in God. See, that's what we have to understand. We're dead. That's what we have to reckon ourselves. That we're dead and our life is hid with Christ in God. Okay? I want to read this to you in the message version. It says, so if you're serious about living this new resurrection life with Christ, act like it. Pursue the things over which Christ presides, right? That Christ presides. And what does he preside? He's head of all principalities and powers, whether they're angelic or earthly, right? That's what he presides over. Don't shuffle along, eyes to the ground, absorbed with the things right in front of you. Look up and be alert to what is going on around who? Me? Around what's going on in the world? Around my circumstances? No, around Christ. Okay? Don't shuffle along, eyes to the ground, absorbed with the things right in front of you. Look up and be alert to what is going on around Christ. That's where the action is. See things from his perspective. And the way that this is worded here in the King James is that you set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. Okay, we're setting our affections on Christ, the things of Christ, right? We're focused on that. So what does that mean? Does that mean I'm not supposed to be concerned about my job? No, didn't say that. But am I supposed to be concerned about that over the things of Christ? No. Okay, so It doesn't mean we don't have any concerns. It doesn't mean that we don't take care of business, so to speak. But on the other hand, our focus has to be about our lives being about the things of God, the things of Christ. It says here, your old life is dead. Your new life, which is your real life, even though invisible to spectators, is with Christ in God. What does it mean that it's invisible? Well, like Rich said, the Holy Spirit, okay, when everybody received it, which, by the way, was the moment that you believed in God and that Jesus Christ was your Lord and Savior, okay? And I mean that very moment, not when you then went to church and met with the pastor, after you realized it at your house or while you were driving or wherever you were when you had that moment. Do you understand what I'm trying to say to you? Because we tie everything into the building and the ritual and the people. And it's about, as Rich pointed out, your relationship with God. God knows who you are. God knows your heart. And from the time that you come and say, I know that God is the creator. I know who I am. Okay, what Aldo was sharing, like I'm a sinner, I'm separated. There's no way for me to bridge this separation with God. And that God has made a way through his son, Jesus Christ. The moment you've come to that understanding, guess what? You have it. It doesn't matter if you're in church or not. It doesn't matter if you're talking to a pastor or not. Doesn't matter. That's what the scriptures talk about. That's when you have it. And guess what? That's when he gives you the Holy Spirit. Whether you feel it or not. And by the way, it doesn't talk about you feeling it. Okay? So, at that moment, that's when God enables you with the Holy Spirit. And because you're enabled with the Holy Spirit, you also have things through the Holy Spirit, which would be the fruits of the Spirit. Okay, that's one of the things you would be enabled with. All right. And again, that's the moment that you come to that place in your life. That's when it happens, right? So if that's the case, that the moment this happens, right, it's invisible, except for the Lord Jesus Christ. They saw it descending like a dove. Doesn't talk about that with us when we come to that. We just have it. Okay? So nobody sees you walking around with your Holy Spirit. Like, I'm glowing. Something's going on. People are like, ooh, Twain, he's got the Spirit. Right? No. It doesn't work that way. It's invisible to everybody. But I'll tell you what's not invisible. The manifestation of you having that Spirit. That is very visible. That is very real. That is something that people take notice of. That's why they say something's going on here different than, like Richard was saying, something here is going on. Right? I'm talking to you at Starbucks and then I say something about you and the drug program. Huh? Yeah, something's going on. Right. This guy, God, somehow this guy is connected to God. That's what the person would come to, right? So that's what we have here, that even though the Spirit itself is invisible to spectators, meaning the people around us, the manifestation of that Spirit is not invisible. It's very palpable. Like they can almost touch it, okay? Let's go and keep reading here in Colossians 3, and let's look at verse 5. It says, mortify, therefore, your members which are upon the earth. And then it starts going through a list. Fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affections, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Covetous is not idolatry. It's talking about all of it. All of that stuff adds up to being idolatry. Okay? For which thing's sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in the which you also walked some time when you lived in them. But now ye also put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Let me stop for a second. What do you think filthy communication is? Do you think that it's profanity? It can be, but not really so much. You know, filthy communication, when it talks about speaking things that are edifying, you know, that so-and-so, they ain't lazy, bum, ain't no good, something, blah-da-da. That would be filthy communication, okay? Not edifying. Now, if you're talking to a person to really help them, that's one thing. When you're talking about them, it's another thing, okay? There's a difference, right? There's a difference, because Jesus, he directly confronted some people. He had some strong words, right? But he was telling them something. He wasn't talking about them. He was talking to them, right? So it says here, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds, right? You've put that off. Why? Because we have been circumcised with the circumcision made without hands. And isn't it something that we have done? No. It is something that God has made available through Jesus Christ. That's why we can do this, right? So this is, like I said, this is a partial list. It's not a full list of, okay, here are all the, you know, bad things. No, but it's given you, let's say, a roadmap, a directional, an indication of what this stuff looks like, right? And there's other stuff, but it's all in this direction of the stuff that we just read, okay? Let's go to, actually, we're going to keep reading here. So, verse 10. And have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Okay? What did that just say? It just said that God's not interested in the things that people are interested in. Okay? Long as you come to the point where you have accepted God and who you are in relationship to God and what God has made available through his son, Jesus Christ, then guess what? You got it. Doesn't matter how people label you or how the world labels you. You've got it. And that's the end of the story, okay? Verse 12, put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness and long-suffering. And oh, by the way, let me back up for a second. This includes denominations. Okay? Oh, well, that guy's he's a Catholic. I don't know if he's saved. If he has accepted God as his Lord and Savior, and he believes that God sent his son to save him from his sins, that's what God respects. Okay? Well, he's a Baptist, he's a Methodist, he's Episcopal, he's a this, he's a that. Where's that here? I don't see that here. It talks about being a person of faith, talks about being a believer, talks about being a Christian. Doesn't talk about being a Catholic, a Protestant, a blah, 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 go on. I mean, how many things can we name? That's something that we've done. Right? Just like free, bond, barbarian. Same deal. Right? We've put our thing in there. It's not about that. I don't know who's where they are. God knows. He knows their heart. Okay? That's what we need to be concerned about. Not where you say you belong to or where you come from. Let me talk to you and find out what you believe. Do you understand what I'm saying? Just like God has a personal relationship with each one of us, like Rich has said. Period. I mean, how many records have we seen? The children of Israel. And what, he cut them off. Weren't they part of the group that was supposed to know the truth? He cut them off. Gone. Right? Doesn't matter. What matters is your heart. And God knows your heart. And that's what we have to kind of keep in our mind. Otherwise, we get caught up in this nonsense. Right? We got to keep to the truth, in spirit and in truth, right? Okay, verse 12, put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfectness. That's the bond of perfectness, is love. Because when you walk in love, you do not cause ill to your neighbor. Right? When you walk in love, you're not trying to steal from him. You're not trying to cheat him. You're not trying to do anything that hurts him. And if, oh, by the way, you happen to do it, because guess what? We're human and we make mistakes. Even when we're trying to do the right thing, we can make a mistake, right? Then God tells us how to make it right according to the scriptures, right? So then we do that. That would be walking in love, okay? So these are the things. It doesn't call it here the fruits of the Spirit. But guess what? All of these things are because of the Spirit, because of the Holy Spirit. Because guess what? You don't have these things in you. When I say you don't have these things in you, you don't have these things in you to be walking like this consistently. This is because it's a spiritual thing. And we're complete in Him. Therefore, we can do it. Right? We just have to decide to. If. That's what it said at the beginning of chapter 3. Right? If. If then you be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. It's a choice. We have to make that choice every day. We have to make that choice every day. Okay? Let's take a look here. Now, there's two important things that I want to point out about what we just looked at here. You know, it's spiritual. You have the flesh, and then you have what we saw, the spiritual aspects of walking in love, humbleness, kindness, meekness, right? We want to keep that in mind, that we have these two things going on because God has given us this other spiritual nature. Part of it is the fruits of the Spirit that we can walk in, but we have to choose to walk in it. We have to choose to walk in it. Let's take a look here at 2 Corinthians chapter 10. In verse 3, it says, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through" who? God. "To the pulling down of strongholds." It's mighty through God. It's, again, it's not really about you. It's mighty through God. Right? We have access to it, but it's not really going to happen because of you. It's going to happen because of God. We have to choose to do it, but it's there because of God. It's available because of God. We have the access to do it because of what God has made available. Okay? So it says, "Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ." Every thought. What was that that proverb that Aldo opened up with, talking about God's word and how we have to be mindful of it? Right? Keep it in our minds. Talking about the word of God, keep it in our minds. Right? Here in the Amplified Version, it says, "For though we walk in the flesh as mortal men, we are not carrying our spiritual warfare according to the flesh and using the weapons of man. The weapons of our warfare are not physical weapons of flesh and blood. Our weapons are divinely powerful for the destruction of fortresses. We are destroying sophisticated arguments and every exalted and proud thing that sets itself up against the true knowledge of God. And we are taking every thought and purpose captive to the obedience of Christ." What are some of these thoughts? What are some of these arguments? What are some of these things that are exalted? Imaginations that are exalted. Well, let's turn to Galatians chapter 5. We're going to start reading in 19. "Now the works of the flesh are manifest." Remember what we read back in Colossians, and it said that we have been circumcised with the circumcisions that's not made with hands, and that has put us where we are now over the carnal, the sins of the flesh. That would be this, the sins of the flesh. "This is manifest. Which are these? Adultery, fornication, uncleanliness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulsions, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like." And such like. Whatever is similar to that, it's the same as that. Right? And as you learn and you study God's word and you ask him to give you understanding about things, right? Okay, like let's take hatred, right? And it talks about this, I think it's in 1 John, right? It talks about this. And it talks about he who hates his brother is just like a murderer. Just like who? Cain. I didn't know it was that serious. Yeah, it is. It is. Because when you look up what it's talking about, it's like you're devising evil against somebody for no reason at all. They have not done anything to you to deserve what you're doing to them. You just have a bone to pick with them. For whatever the reason, you do. And there's a lot of, you know, reasons I could attach to it right now, but I'm not going to. But I'm going to say, for whatever reason you have to have a bone to pick with somebody, and then you start to devise evil to bring them down, to ensnare them, to make their life miserable. That's hatred. And guess what? God sees that as murder. You are murdering their spirit, their life. Do you understand what I'm saying? It's not a good thing. So, you know, you read through this list, and that's part of the problem. We read through the list. We don't kind of contemplate and meditate and, you know, say, what exactly would this be about? Where does this talk about this somewhere? Like, we just read through the list. Like it's a checklist. Choop, 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 choop. Right? It's really more serious than that. We really have to think about what's going on here. All right? So all of these things here, these are the things that it's talking about. The imaginations, the thoughts, the arguments. Right? I have this argument going on in my mind. I don't like that guy. You know why I don't like him? Because of this. And now I'm going to go after him. Guess who the argument's with? You. You understand what I'm saying, right? You're arguing in your own mind and justifying why you're going to devise evil against this person for whatever the reason. And you're exalting that belief or those thoughts, imaginations, above the Word of God and what it says and how God says to treat other people. Right? And we could go on and on and on. But a lot of it, I know that, and I'm not saying that this is not the case, that there's not philosophies in the world and beliefs and things that are contrary to God's word. Definitely there is. But you know what? It's a lot more simplistic than that. It's about you. In other words, me? Yeah. Like, take personal responsibility. What are you thinking? What are you doing? You know, that doesn't mean that something's going on that's wrong, that maybe you should be against it. But my point is what are you also doing? Because a lot of people don't think that this means them personally when they say imaginations and arguments and things that exalt themselves against God. You're exalting yourself against God. That's why it's idolatry. Do you see what I'm saying when I told you before? It wasn't the last thing. It was all of the things that's really about. He's talking about idolatry. That's why it's idolatry. You're the God. I've decided what's right and what's wrong. And yeah, God says not to do that, but I got a reason why I'm doing it. Okay? And it's a good reason. It's a good reason. And I'm going to go with that. Right? That would be idolatry. That would be you placing your imagination thoughts above God's word. Right? So that's what we're talking about here. Let's take a look at verse 22. It says, but. So now we're going to go, let's say, the opposite side of the coin. Okay? Now it says, but. The fruit of the Spirit. And what would the fruit of the Spirit be? It would be something that's from the Holy Spirit. It's something you have access because of the Holy Spirit. Okay? But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. What law can you write that would actually replace these things if you were walking in them consistently? There is no law that you could write. None. That's why God talks about we're really above that. Because God's standard is above laws. Not his laws, but earthly laws. Yeah. you're living on another plane. When you're actually walking in your new life, right? You're living on a whole nother plane. So it says that there is no law against this. And they that are Christ have, what? Crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. You have crucified it. Because it said, ye are dead. Remember when we read that? Ye are dead. Right? And you're following the things of God and Christ. Okay? Let's take a look briefly here at 1 Corinthians chapter 13. A lot of people call this the love chapter, right? Talks about love, and it definitely does. It talks about love, okay? We're going to pick this up in verse 4. 13:4. It says, charity, which is love, suffereth long and is kind. Love envieth not. Love vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up. You're supposed to actually keep that mindset and read in verse 5. Love doth not behave itself unseemly. Love seeketh not her own. Love is not easily provoked. Love thinketh no evil. Love rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. Love bears all. Love believes all things. Love hopes all things. Love endures all things. Love never fails. See, it started it off for the first couple of ones, and then it's, after that, it's kind of like you're supposed to get the hint. You keep saying the word love before the next item that comes up. Yeah, I'm not going to keep writing it. It's like you get it, right? So, but when we look at these things, are we thinking like these things are separate from love? These things are love. They're different aspects of love. Do you follow what I'm saying? You have love. Say love is a whole pie. Now we're cutting this pie up, right? Within this pie, we have love doesn't rejoice in iniquity. We have love rejoices in the truth. We have love bears all. So each slices these different things. The whole pie is about love. All of these things are attributes, qualities, you want to say fruits of love. These things aren't, it's not like we're talking about love and then we're talking about having patience. Part of having patience is to love. If you're not patient, you're impatient, you're not being loving. Do you see what I'm saying? These aren't separate things. This is what love looks like. It's just like this is the different phases of it, what it looks like. So let's go to back to where we started, to Colossians 2. Verse 10, and you are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. Is there anything that is out of the dominion of Christ? No. And we are in him. Right? In whom also you are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of sins of the flesh. How? By the circumcision of who? Christ. And you know what happened when we got that Holy Spirit? We got all of this access. When we got this Holy Spirit, as Aldo shared, now we have an option to our natural man, our human nature, our sinful nature, our carnal nature, right? All of the different terms. Now we have an option. We don't have to just behave like that. We can now do it this way. But it's not because of something that, you know, like, how am I going to do it? It's there for me to do, right? Whether I do it the first day or whether I come to this a month later and decide, ooh, I can do this. It's been there since, just like when they're out in the corner. From the day that he gave you that check, guess what? It was good. You just didn't cash it. Let's cash it. Because it's been good. And we wanna walk in what God has made available to us. That's what I want to share. God bless.